Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Well, with the review team now in place, it could be just weeks before Detroit has an emergency financial manager in place. But are there some other options that should be considered? To talk about that, I'm joined by Reverend Paul Mayhew. He's with the Voices Network and the Occupy Our Democracy movement, which is very much against having an EFM assigned to Detroit. Welcome to the program, Reverend Mayhew.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me today.
So at this point, we have a review team in place. I was told by a Treasury official that in the past, review teams have been able to avoid having an EFM step in. Are you hopeful that this team that is now looking at Detroit's financial crisis might be able to avoid having an EFM step in?
Yes, I am. I'm very hopeful that that will happen. In fact, a week or so ago, Dave Bing, the mayor there, issued a budget that outlined the situation where they were able to have enough finances to ameliorate the financial manager at this point. But I don't know how that's being looked at in terms of the review team.
Isn't it all going to come down to the unions making concessions? And isn't the problem that they're simply not willing to do that at this point?
Well, I don't think it all comes down to the unions making concessions, but I think that, you know, what's happening in this country and in Michigan is that, you know, the working person has been giving and giving and giving and giving. Right now, we're in a situation where corporate America has been just kind of, people have been organizing and retaining government on the backs of corporate of the poor person or the average citizen for corporate America. Corporate America has to be able to give some, you know, because I mean, when they talk about taxing corporate America, there's no actual tax to corporate America, because most of the time they have the lawyers and the financial auditors enough to avoid the taxes. And that's what happened. At one point, I was an investment broker. And I know for a fact, during my tenure as an investment broker, that this type of behavior is going on.
Well, some would say that corporate America is what provides jobs in America, and that if we don't make sure that the corporations are successful here, that we won't have the jobs that make our lives possible.
Well, that's what's happening right now. Corporate America provides jobs, but corporate America has gotten so greedy at the top that they're outsourcing and sending all of our jobs that the common person used to do, they're sending them out of the country. I mean, just think, when we call a computer place right now, we can't call a place in America. We call in China, India, Mexico, all the people that can't speak our language. And so America has to be able to think America. You know, we got to, I mean, when you do something, you got to think at home before you go across the street.
Now, when you look at Detroit, though, they've got about, what, $12 billion of long-term debt. I mean, the situation is dire, to say the least. Isn't the city now in a state that some major monumental changes will have to be done? Whether an EFM steps in or not, it's going to be a very tough time for the city, is it not?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a tough time for the city. But I think that when you take away revenue sharing, and tax base is going away, now people are saying, well, you are getting people trickling back into the Detroit area. So you have some positive things that's beginning to happen, especially when you think about the football teams and all these things that begin to generate revenue. Positive things are beginning to happen. So we could have a turnaround that's happening. At least that's what I'm hearing that the leaders of that community see, vis-a-vis Dave Bing and his group that issued a budget.
Now, we can't have Detroit going into bankruptcy, so what's the worst thing that could happen if an EFM is brought in to balance the city's budget?
Well, the worst thing that could happen is that, from a symbolic standpoint, is that when you have a group of people like Detroit that loses their right to vote, their right to have a say in their governance, then we have a situation where we, on a collective basis, have a situation where people are saying, hey, what good is my vote? So then you run the risk of people not participating in the participatory part of our government. That is horrible. You know, so now we run the risk of people sitting at home saying, my vote don't count. That's awful.
I'm talking
to... We need people to come out and vote, and we need them to vote in droves and large numbers.
I'm talking to Reverend Paul Mayhew. He's with the Voices Network and the Occupy Our Democracy movement. Reverend Mayhew, though, isn't the real blame, shouldn't the blame really be put on Detroit city officials that allowed the city's finances to get to the point that that it is now and requiring a potential emergency financial manager to get involved?
Well, I don't really want to play the blame game. You know, we could play that all night long because we can go back as far as, you know, when white flight, you know, when people just said, I'm leaving out of here. When white flight took place, you know. So there's a lot of blame to go around. You know, let's not get into the blame game and say let's take the yoke off the backs of the poor and the middle class from the middle income person on down. Let's take that yoke off our back. Let's bring jobs into the community. Right now, President Obama has created a plan where he's going to reward corporations for staying in the community. Senator Stabenow and them had a plan to also reward corporations for staying in the community. Senator Schumer says he's got a plan where people should have more say in their investments on a national level in their mutual funds and stuff like that. All these types of things bring people into the flow, you know, and help people understand that, you know, we've got to be better fiduciaries of our money.
What about the infrastructure in Detroit? I mean, isn't the city now in a state that many people may not necessarily want to live in or work in?
Well, that's an evolving type of a situation when you talk about that. Yeah, most cities, when we talk about urban areas, the resources have been taken out, and we have a lot of crime and just, you know, just people are despondent in the cities. But bringing back actual jobs and careers and professions, you know, can help ameliorate that. So, I mean, even in colleges, when you talk about the colleges that sometimes forgive loans for people that come back into the cities and work in the cities, you know, all those types of things help to build community. We can't have corporations just saying, let's outsource all of our jobs and send them out of the country and say, think that we're going to build America. We can't build America giving away our jewels.
Now, the changes that are going to be made in the budget, whether there's an emergency financial manager or not, aren't we now going to see a Detroit with less services, less upkeep, and maybe, you know, less police officers, making it even a more potentially dangerous city?
Well, I think that the Detroiters are unique, and Michiganders, we all are unique, and uncommon type of a person. And if we see that there's light at the end of the tunnel, you know, I was in Detroit one day, and they had a group that, this is what fascinated me one day. It was a group. It was something that happened in the neighborhood. It was a rapist that did some rapes in the neighborhood. And to see the community come out by themselves and find that rapist in that community, that's people working together for nothing.
Yeah, I was in Detroit myself, actually, just a couple weekends ago at the Detroit Institute of Art, and you know, that area is very nice. There are many areas that are not. When you look at the long term future of Detroit, with a population shrinking and has been shrinking, do you imagine that there will have to be, as some envision, a full restructuring of large parts of the city, maybe even turning them back into rural type of areas and basically demolishing full neighborhoods?
Well, I don't think they have to do that. I think there's what they call the historic district money. Historic districts have been used in a lot of areas to bring back communities. So I don't think you have to turn the area into a rural community. But, you know, we got historic districts. you know, that will pump extra federal monies into those places and extra police protection in some of those areas by using historic district monies, as opposed to, you know, trying to cut it up and make little suburbs, you know, little smaller areas out of the big area.
Bottom line, Detroit, 5-10 years from now, once, you know, the changes are made and a new budget structure is in place, do you see a city that's better off or likely still struggling?
I see a metropolitan area that's better off because I live in Grand Rapids, and the people that I know that are in business down here know that we cannot function in Michigan without a flowing and fulfilled and growing Detroit. So we got interest, our interest in business is dependent on a comeback in a strong Detroit.
Reverend Paul Mayhew with the Voices Network and Occupy Our Democracy. Reverend Mayhew, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.